is the future of wrestling. You can call this the New World Order of Wrestling, brother.
You guys talk about being students of the game.
Yes.
I am the game, JR.
Yes.
There is nobody that eats, sleeps, or breathes this business more than me.
Once again, I did it all by my sweet little self. I knew it. I'm a winner.
And that's the butterfly.
Oh, yeah.
The Stone Cold said so.
You do not throw rocks at a man who's got a machine gun.
You are now listening to The Gerwick Report with Steve Gerwick and Frank D.
It is Wednesday, April the 29th. 2015. It is episode 99 of the GRP, the Gerwick Report podcast, the podcast that tells it like it is. And today we're going to tell it like it is regarding the Bill Goldberg situation. Where is he going to wrestle? Is he going to have one final match? What's the status of Daniel Bryan? When will he return to the ring? Dana White puts his foot down regarding Ronda Rousey, kind of something we predicted on this podcast. We know that Billy Corgan is the new creative director of TNA. We'll talk about that. Sad news regarding Vern Gagne, his passing. Wade Barrett, or Bad News Barrett, is now the King of the Ring. We'll talk about that. Some interesting comments made by Booker T on Raw. And as always, a plethora of topics to discuss today. And let me tag in my tag team partner, Frank D.
Hey, what's going on, Steve? How you doing, pal?
We're doing good. And Frank, we're only one edition away from our 100th episode, and we have some news coming regarding that episode.
Absolutely. For those out there who are interested in buying a Gerwick Report podcast t-shirt or Gerwick.net t-shirt, prowrestlingtees.com/GERWECK is the place to go. For the celebration of the 100th edition of the Gerwick Report podcast, we're going to have a special promo code, which will get you a certain percentage off of your t-shirts. So that's going to be announced probably within the next day or two about that promo code. So that's going to be a very, very big deal for us, simply to celebrate the fact that we have done 100 episodes, Steve.
Yeah, that's hard to believe. It really is.
Yeah.
And, of course, we couldn't do it without the support of the GRP listeners. We always appreciate you out there spreading the word about this podcast. That's how we're growing, by leaps and bounds. If you enjoy today's podcast, definitely let people know on Twitter and Facebook. You know, let them know that we put on an entertaining podcast. We break it down. Tell it like it is, and we keep it 100% real here on the GRP.
Absolutely. That's what we try to do, and that's what we've obtained to do since day one when we started this venture of doing a wrestling podcast, even in a time when the wrestling business isn't so hot.
Yeah, sometimes it's actually a struggle to come on the show because, you know, you try not to be 100% negative, but a lot of things go back to being negative about the TNA product, the WWE product, the state of the business in general. TNA received some bad news this week. Actually, it was Tuesday. Dixie Carter himself broke the news on her Twitter, on her Facebook, that one half of the TNA World Tag Team Champions, the Hardy Boys, Jeff Hardy, broke his leg, and we're understanding today that he's having surgery. Now the question will be, Frank, is what do they do with the tag team situation? They are actually building towards Slammiversary. I guess they're actually going to have a pay-per-view event that's not one of the, you know, taped in 6 months in advance, and here's the World Cup or whatever their theme might be. But it is a blow to the company that one of their bigger stars right now, Jeff Hardy, is going to be out of action with a broken leg.
Yeah, you know, that's very unfortunate and very sad to hear that news about Jeff Hardy. You know, I never, ever want to hear about one of the wrestlers getting hurt, one of the wrestlers getting injured like this. It sucks that it's not a storyline, but it is the real deal, and I think that kind of hurts the company right now, and the company at a time when they need big stars. Jeff Hardy is one of the biggest stars that they have in that company, and for him to be sidelined with an injury like this is just bad. I want to say that I wish Jeff Hardy a speedy recovery here. He can get back to the ring very shortly. I think this guy has come back from being a guy who was out of it, you know, a few years ago on a pay-per-view with Sting, to being a guy who's turned his life around. And it's one of the, I would say, best performers ever. When you think of tag team wrestling, Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy come to play, the Hardy Boys. So hopefully he gets a speedy recovery, and this doesn't derail TNA in any way, but I have to think that it's going to affect him.
Yeah, the real question is, where do they go from here? And this kind of ties together with another theme that we want to talk about today. Another issue was this week that TNA announced that Billy Corgan, who is the lead singer of the Smashing Pumpkins, has had been involved in wrestling with other wrestling promotions, is a huge wrestling fan himself, that essentially he's now the head of creative of TNA. And now the question would be for Billy Corgan, he's got a big decision to make, because what direction do they go with those World Tag Team Championships? And we'll find out May 8th, the next set of Impact tapings. But Frank, I think it surprised a lot of people that Billy Corgan was named the creative director, and some people had, you know, positive things to say. Some people had negative things to say. Overall, I don't know how people could be too critical, because the creative in TNA has not blown me away in recent years. And, you know, why not start with a fresh face of Billy Corgan? He is a big wrestling fan and brings a different perspective to the product.
I mean, I don't understand why everybody would be upset about that decision, simply because, I mean, Billy Corgan has been around for years, Steve. He's been around since the ECW days. He is a very, very big wrestling fan. I think at one point he either still does, or he had his own little independent company that he was doing. So I think it's a natural fit. I mean, what can Billy Corgan do that's any worse than what they currently are doing right now in TNA? At one point, Steve, this is a company that had, no disrespect to her, but they had Christy Hemme on the creative team. So I don't really think Billy Corgan is all that bad, to be honest with you. I mean, they look at the crowd that they had there for many, many years with another guy who just pretty much, you know, ran the company to the ground. So I think Billy Corgan is a positive. Let's see what Billy Corgan can do before we jump to conclusions. I mean, he was a guy who was the lead singer of the Smash Pumpkins, a very popular band. They did creative music. Let's see what Billy Corgan can do creatively for the wrestling business, especially TNA The Dead Brand.
You would hope now, with the new direction of Billy Corgan comes in, they kind of clean house. I know they have, what, Dave Lagana still there. He was with a SmackDown writer. Matt Conway, I know, is involved in the creative department. You hope that they kind of start over, because that's what they really need to do, is start over. Not 100% reboot, because I think that's going to, you know, lead them nowhere. But new, fresh faces. Billy Corgan brings in some of the guys that he wants to work with, guys that have some ideas. Because it sounds like, from Billy Corgan's perspective, he kind of really wants to go in a new direction with the product. We don't know exactly what that's going to be, what that's going to entail. But I think it's very provocative right now to see exactly what Billy Corgan can bring to the table. I know some people were critical, Frank, to say, well, you know, why would you bring in a rock star to run creative when you could go out and get somebody with a big wrestling background, somebody that's been in the business a lot of years, a lot of legends out there, who could come in and bring a fresh perspective, have a lot of wrestling knowledge. But, you know, at this point with TNA, and we've been down this road for how many years now with this company, let's give Billy Corgan an opportunity. At least he's a huge wrestling fan. At least he has been involved in the business. And I got to say today, for me, I'm looking at the positive rather than the negative. I think this could be a very positive move for the company. He brings a fresh perspective. He's not been in TNA at any time. He brings in his outside knowledge of TNA, and I think, really, Billy Corgan could be a very positive effect on that company.
I tend to agree, Steve. I mean, it's like, okay, we can go back to the telltale booking of a guy who's been in the wrestling business, and no disrespect, but obviously today is not, that's not what they're looking for in today's wrestling business. They're not looking for old school wrestlers to come in and book shows. They're trying to compete with, you know, Hollywood. It's all Hollywood now. See, it's the gone are the days of the three man booking committees and being in the business. It's all about Hollywood writers and people from outside of the wrestling business, and that's where they're going. And I say good luck to TNA with that.
If somebody said to me in a private conversation, you know, why wouldn't I hire Jim Cornette? I don't think Jim Cornette would take the job at this point.
No, I don't think so. I think Jim Cornette honestly is really burnt out on the wrestling business. I think that's what it is. And the same thing would be like Larry Zbysko. Larry Zbysko, I think Larry would be good for the industry, but it's all about if they want to work with Larry Zbysko. And I just don't think that old school mentality is going to fit today in today's product, the way they view things now. It doesn't work. Unless you're a member of the clique, you got no chance in hell. And that's just pretty much how it is.
Very true. I don't know. Is Larry Zbysko still giving a speech? Hall of Fame speech?
You talking about that? You talking about that meme I posted on Facebook? Yeah, I think he probably still is.
The one they would have razzed was a Mr. T speech where he just kept rambling on about his mama. But you can definitely check out what we're referring to at the Gerwick Report podcast page on Facebook. You know, join the discussion group there. Frank's always got some interesting topics that he puts out, and sometimes he put fantasy matches up there, and you never know what's going to get posted at the GRP. You never know who's going to interact with us on the GRP Facebook discussion group as well. We've seen Sonny Ono pop up just recently on there. We got Big Vito, who has a lawsuit with WWE. So, the other day it was Tammy Lynn Sitch was on there. So,
right.
You never know who's going to be on the GRP Facebook discussion group. It is a closed group, and if you want to go on there, find us there, request to be a member, and Frank D will approve you if you're a legitimate person and not a bot out there.
Yeah, I've been getting some bots lately on there, and usually if you come on our group, what will happen is that I'll see your request, and I actually will go to your page, and I'll make sure you're a legitimate page and just see how long you've been on Facebook and if you belong to any other groups, and then I'll take it from there. But in a moment, see that they start spamming, I'll know that it was a bot. I know that they got me, and I usually delete their ass right off the page and block them. So that's it. But other than that, it's a very friendly, wholesome group with a lot of friendly members. We have a lot of interesting debates that go on there because people are very passionate in the Gerwick Report podcast group on Facebook about sports entertainment. So we tend to have some heated debates, but at the end of the day, we're all friends. So that's all that matters.
Yeah, definitely. So if you want to check that out at facebook.com/... Actually, I think it's facebook.com, and just type in Gerwick Report podcast. As I said, send a request. Frank will approve you if you're a real person. And if you're one of these people that just want to, you know, spam us and put out that you're selling these sunglasses or whatever, yeah, you'll be gone. And it seems like more and more that these fake bots are just like real pretty girls they put on there so that people like will pay attention to them, and then in the end, just spam. There's a lot of spam out there on the internet right now, so.
Yep, and I don't have time for it, so.
Me either.
And I know majority of the people that join our group don't do that. It's just the little ones that want to sell sunglasses. Hey, you know what? If they were nice sunglasses, I might order some, but they're ugly, so I usually block you out.
So, and really, if you want to order something, go to prowrestlingtees.com/Gerwick, and they can get a GRP t-shirt.
Absolutely. Get the GRP t-shirt, get the Gerwick.net t-shirt, $19.99 plus shipping and handling, but, you know, that promo code is coming, so it's going to be a little bit less than that. So, hey, that's what you do. Support the GRP and Gerwick.net, and if you can't buy a t-shirt, hey, tell your friends, tell your neighbors about the show, let them know you like what you hear with Frank D and Steve Gerwick, and that'll help us too.
You also follow us on Twitter while we're getting the cheap plugs out of the way. We're at Gerwick Report on Twitter. I'm Gerwick on Twitter, and it's Real Frank D-E-E as well. So a lot of ways to interact with us
also,
here at the GRP.
And also the YouTube channel. I usually bring up breaking news stuff. You know, I post a lot of the stuff that we don't talk about on GRP because when we're recording the show, after we're done recording it, you know, something can happen. So usually if I'm around my house, whatever, I usually just do a quick video and put it on YouTube. So youtube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast is where to go. You can subscribe to our channel. You can like our videos and also spread the word about the channel as well. I've received a ton of emails lately from people that like the YouTube channel and basically didn't even know that Gerwick.net even did a podcast. That's the interesting part.
Well, Frank, they made an announcement, I think it was over the weekend, WWE, is that the King of the Ring, which had been defunct now for several years, they haven't done one in a while, was coming back as basically a network exclusive. And it seems like it was a fly-by-the-night decision because I really didn't hear anything about, you know, the King of the Ring coming back. I thought if you're going to bring back the King of the Ring, you could build it up a little bit and say in the month of May, you may want to subscribe to the WWE Network because we're going to do the King of the Ring exclusively here on the WWE Network, but they announced, eight guys entered this tournament, eight wrestlers, sports entertainers, I guess, if you're WWE or superstars. They started the tournament on Raw, and they concluded with a special on the WWE Network. Frank, what's your opinion of WWE, I guess, kind of abruptly announcing the return of the King of the Ring tournament. And what's your thoughts on Bad News Barrett, now the new WWE King of the Ring?
You know what? I've always been a fan of the King of the Ring. I really liked when they did it on pay-per-view years and years ago. I think when you think about King of the Ring on pay-per-view, it's one of the most underrated shows. If one thing that sticks out of my mind with the King of the Ring is the match between Shane McMahon and Kurt Angle back in 2001 at the King of the Ring. And that bump that Shane took. You remember Shane took a belly-to-belly suplex and his damn head hit the damn concrete. Those are things that I remember about King of the Ring. And, you know, I was hoping that, you know, if they were going to do the King of the Ring tournament, why not just do it, you know, at one of the house shows or something, you know, and just put it on the network that night. You could crown the King of the Ring. But I'm all for it. You know, I'm all for them doing the King of the Ring. I think that it's cool. I just hope that with Barrett, he doesn't get stuck with some type of a comedy gimmick at this point. I don't know, Steve. You know, the thing with Barrett is that here's a guy who, in my opinion, has never recovered from the debacle known as Nexus. I mean, here's a guy who should have been multiple time World Heavyweight Champion. I've heard people say that Barrett gets injured a lot. The company can't trust him because every time they give him a push, he gets hurt. I don't know, man. You know, they've done the Nexus. They did the core. And I don't know what it is about Barrett, but there's something missing here. And I hope that King Barrett can rise to the occasion and actually main event pay-per-views, main event Raws, instead of basically being just a guy who's going to lose. I mean, every time Wade Barrett comes out there and wrestles, Steve, I just kind of get the feeling that the people already know he's going to lose, and that's why people really can't get into his matches. Although I will say that the match he had this past week at Extreme Rules with Neville on the pre-show was damn good.
Yeah, that Neville's getting a lot of rave reviews right now.
Absolutely.
So they may have something with him. I know some people thought maybe he could win the King of the Ring and give him the rub, but I think it's kind of early to give him the rub right now.
I you know, here's the deal. Tommy won the Battle Royal to go to WrestleMania, I believe, to go for the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, and he didn't win it. So I never foresaw Adrian Neville winning the King of the Ring. I just think they had some names in there. But if you look at the brackets here, Steve, outside of a couple guys, it was a pretty crappy set of guys that they had for this tournament. I will say that.
And that's probably the reason they did not really promote it. I mean, it like came out of nowhere over the weekend. They're going to do this King of the Ring tournament. And here we got the opening matches on Raw. And Tuesday night on the network, we're going to finish the tournament. I just thought if you're going to bring back the King of the Ring, you know, build it up a little bit. I mean, the idea of a wrestling promotion is to promote something, right? For the month of May, I mean, they had a bunch for April. They had the Jerry Springer special. They had the podcast with John Cena. They have the podcast with Stephanie McMahon for the month of April. April was free. I thought maybe for May, say, hey, you know, stick around. We're going to do the King of the Ring tournament. Do all the matches on the network. Maybe do a two-week special of some sort. But I just thought kind of out of nowhere they announced, hey, we're bringing back the King of the Ring tournament. We've not done one once since, 2010, Sheamus? The last one they've done. So I just thought they could have built it up a little bit. I mean, obviously the King of the Ring is not what it used to be. It's not the King of the Ring of Owen Hart. It's not the King of the Ring of Stone Cold Steve Austin. But give it a little more rub. Give it a little more luster. And it's like, here it is. Here's the tournament. Okay, Wade Barrett won. Great.
Yep.
Now what?
That's pretty much how I was.
And again, they do this with Wade Barrett. I mean, you're going back to the Nexus days you were talking about.
Yeah.
He gets a little bit of a rub, gets a little bit of a push. Looks like he's on the cusp of being one of those bigger stars, and for some reason, either he doesn't get there on his own or they just push him backwards. They whip him.
Yeah, pretty much. You get whipped in the whip. Yeah, pretty much.
Or he gets injured.
And if he's not injured and they seem like they're giving him a push with the Intercontinental Championship, Steve, they're jobbing him out. I mean, that's you know, it was kind of funny because somebody posted the other day, I don't know if it was you or somebody else on the group, though, they posted, is the U.S. title more prestigious now than it was before?
That.
Okay. So I don't really think it is.
I don't either.
You can't you can't tell me, okay, because Rusev had it or John Cena has it, that all of a sudden that the U.S. title means something right now. It doesn't. It still doesn't mean anything. You can't take a belt that you have treated like garbage for years, just like the IC strap. And then all of a sudden you put it on Daniel Bryan and you put it on John Cena, all of a sudden now it's supposed to be, okay, well, now the belt is critically acclaimed. Now it's the workhorse titles again. No, it's not. I feel the same way about the U.S. title that I felt about a year ago. It's a piece of trash. And so is the IC belt. They're both garbage. And it's a damn shame because back in the day, when you had U.S. champions out there like Sting, okay, and other guys, you know, Lex Luger, the list goes on and on, and the Intercontinental belt, you know, like Mr. Perfect and Terry Von Erich and Bret the Hitman Hart and Owen Hart, people like that that helped the Intercontinental belt, that's when the belt meant something. They don't mean anything today.
The titles that were prestigious at one time, as Frank was talking about here, the United States Championships, the IC Championships, they had their run. They had their day where they were very prestigious and people covered them. I mean, at one time, the IC Championship, and a lot of the listeners out there probably don't even realize this, Frank, that was the cornerstone of winning the WWE Championship or the WWF Championship at that time, is if you had the IC Championship, you were just one step away from the big strap. And now today, it doesn't mean anything. The titles didn't lose their prestige in 1 month. They're not going to regain their prestige in 1 month. It's going to take time. It's going to take a focus on the whip to make that title mean something, not just give the title to Daniel Bryan, the IC Championship, or give the title to John Cena, the U.S. Championship. They have to make that title mean something, not just give it to one of their bigger stars.
Right, and the thing about it, too, is simply this. Back in the day, the U.S. Championship used to mean a lot in the NWA WCW because that was the number two. That would automatically get you a World Heavyweight Championship match. And I remember seeing, like it was yesterday, I remember, if you remember, Starrcade 94, okay? I remember Vader beat Hacksaw Jim Duggan for the U.S. Championship. As soon as Hogan went out there and beat the Butcher, Brutus Beefcake, Vader went right backstage and demanded a world title match simply because he was a U.S. champion. And that's how it should be. The U.S. champion should say, you know what? I'm the U.S. champion. I want a World Heavyweight Championship match. But in a company where I don't even understand why they even have the U.S. and Intercontinental belt at the same time. Because both of those titles pretty much mean the same thing. So I don't,
especially with a depleted roster.
Exactly. I don't know why they have it.
I mean, back in the day when they had that loaded roster, those titles meant a lot because you had such competition for those championships. Now the roster is so weak. Why do you need two secondary championships? I mean, when they finally retired one of the world titles, again, they've talked about this before, maybe unifying the U.S. and Intercontinental Championship. I don't know why they don't do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I'm just waiting for them, honestly, for them one day to say, okay, we're going to bring back the big gold belt. I'm waiting for that day. I mean, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship is nice, but you got to give these other guys something to fight for. And everybody is not going to go for that.
At least they got rid of the spinner title, right?
Yeah, see, they got rid of that spinner belt. That spinner belt was one of the ugliest belts I ever saw. It's like a damn hood ornament. That's what I called it for years. I mean, that was one of the worst-looking belts I saw in the history of WWE. It was a Christmas ornament. It was ugly. I mean, I can't believe that they actually promoted that belt. It actually still, to this day, see, they will still sell the replica of that belt on WWE Shop. Ugly, ugly belt. I mean, I'm a belt collector now, but I will never, ever get a belt that ugly.
They want you to pay for that spinner belt?
Yep. I think that belt is like $399.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Okay,
well,
that's...
It spins!
It spins! It's special!
Yep.
Wow.
Especially ugly.
So I'll pass on that one.
I'll pass on it, too.
I didn't realize those belts were that much money.
Yeah, they are.
$399 for the spinner belt?
For the spinner belt, yep.
Well, one guy that held the AWA Championships 10 times was the promoter, the founder of American Wrestling Association, the AWA, which, of course, now is in the vault of the WWE Network, if they ever start to air the episodes. But something I grew up on in the 80s was AWA Wrestling. We had it syndicated in our area. It was on ESPN for a time. Unfortunately for myself, as I actually saw the AWA towards the end of its run. But certainly AWA had its heyday. It had strong roots in Winnipeg and Minneapolis and San Francisco and all over the Midwest, Chicago. They'd run shows. And I was just doing a little bit of research on Vern Gagne, who unfortunately passed away, WWE Hall of Famer Vern Gagne. And all the guys that were trained by the legendary Vern Gagne is like the who's list of professional wrestling. You got, of course, his son Greg. You got Ric Flair, Dick the Bruiser, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect, Bob Backlund, the Iron Sheik, started in the Vern Gagne camp, Blackjack Mulligan. The list just goes on and on of some of the biggest names in the history of professional wrestling. And at the age of 89, we lost Vern Gagne this week. You know, when I think legends, and we use that term very loosely in wrestling today, this guy's a legend. He's only been in the business a short time, but he's a legend. Just like today, people are trying to tell me that AJ Lee is a legend or she's worthy of the WWE Hall of Fame. Well, legend, when I think of a legend, I think somebody's been in the business a long time. And Vern Gagne has his roots in this professional wrestling ring. Of course, started the AWA, in the 60s? Had a great run until the early part of the 90s when it was eventually folded. But I want to send my condolences out to the Gagne family. And we lost a great one, Frank, in the passing of Vern Gagne.
Yeah, we did. You know, I actually talked about this on YouTube yesterday, I believe it was. YouTube.com/Gilbert Report Podcast is the place to go. Talking about Vern Gagne, talking about the founder, the father of the AWA, the Major League of Professional Wrestling. So is what they used to coin, the AWA. And look at all the people that came through the AWA. Some of the biggest names ever in the history of sports entertainment. Bobby the Brain Heenan, you know, Jesse Ventura, Hulk Hogan, Tito Santana, a lot of these different guys that came through that territory.
Sergeant Slaughter.
Sergeant Slaughter, yeah. Iron Sheik.
Scott Hall.
Yep, Kurt Hennig. You know, Larry Zbysko. Rick Martel, Sherry Martel, Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty went through AWA, Medusa.
Freebirds,
Nasty Boys. I mean, you name it. They've all gone through there as Road Warriors. They've all went through the AWA because AWA, like I said, was a major league of professional wrestling.
Ken Rednick, and I'm here to say we've got the greatest wrestlers in the AWA. But you're not here to listen to me mumble. Let's fill you in on the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Get on!
Wrestle Rock. Be there.
We're the Midnight Rockers,
Sean and Marty.
We love to wrestle.
And we love to party.
You don't have to worry.
We're not gonna bumble.
Cause we'll be shaking through the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
Ow!
Wrestle Rock.
I'm the Sheik, and that's not funny. I got my army a lot of money. If Gagne in my way, I make him crumble. He be sorry, I did the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
Wrestle Rock, be there.
I'm Jerry Blackwell, and I want the Sheik. I want to get my hands on that pencil neck geek as I watch the EDF fumble. I'm going to make my splash in the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
The AWA, you, me, and Wrestle Rock.
I'm Greg Gagne, and I'm in a rage. I want Brody, and I want him in a cage. The high-flying dropkick will make him see double. I grind him up at the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Woo!
Wrestle Rock.
I'm Kurt Hennig.
And Big Scott Hall. As tag team champs, we'll take on them all.
So bring on the Long Riders, those dirtball dumbos.
We'll smear those bushes,
do the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
Winkle, and I've got a passion. I'll get the title back from that humanoid Hanson. I've got the brains, and I'm not humble. I'll take the belt back and do the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
Wrestle Rock, April 20th, at the Dome.
Wrestle Rock, 86, be there.
Fisco. I won't be through till I get done slapping around Scott the Duke. Gonna beat the ugly bartender into a bundle and laugh all the way doing Wrestle Rock Rumble. Ow!
This game talk got a mouth that won't quit, but I'm Scott the Duke and wanna smack a little shit. And when I'm through, you won't be able to mumble. I'll be left alone doing the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Yeah!
Just one last word from the former champ, Vern, but give it a lot of thought to one more turn. There's some old scores that still give me trouble, and I'm starting to get the urge to do the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
So there you have it, and now you know him. And on April 20th, it's at the Dome. So get your ticket to be under the bubble, because you two can be doing the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Do it!
Wrestle Rock Rumble.
Wrestle Rock Rumble.
You know, Vern, you know, see, for the last 10, 15 years, he didn't really have that good of a life. So I think that he's finally wrestling in peace, is my hope. And it's a damn shame that for a company that owns the entire video library of the AWA, that we don't have any AWA shows on the network. But yet, they got time for their bullshit Jerry Springer, 2 hour TV.
And this is one of the major reasons I'm going to be giving up my subscription here at the end of this month. Where is the AWA footage? They've had AWA footage for how long now? They bought the catalog, what, years ago, right?
Yep.
And they've been sitting on it. The network's been up for over a year, and there's very little AWA footage at all. What's up there, just a documentary?
Just a documentary. But you know what's funny is that WWE used to have the on-demand service, WWE 24/7, and WWE Classics. And they used to show AWA stuff on there all the time, including the Super Clashes. So why that stuff's not being shown on the network, I have no idea. I don't know. I would just like to bitch slap whoever is in charge of programming for the network. That's what I'd love to do. And I'm pretty sure that everybody out there who has a problem with the network programming would be like, yeah, Frank D, we're going to support you on that one. Because it's a joke.
It is a joke. I mean, we've been on the sermon on the WWE Network. But again, they gave you April for free after WrestleMania. And they had Jerry Springer, and they had 2 podcasts with the ever energetic Y2J, and of course they have Stephanie McMahon tomorrow night, which I can hardly wait for. But you know, again, where's the world class footage?
Right.
Where's the Mid South footage? The UWF, Jim Ross doing wrestling almost weekly by himself. I mean, we talk about Joey Styles doing the ECW footage all by himself back in the day. That's what Jim Ross did back in the Mid South days. When I used to watch the UWF, was Jim Ross just tearing it up for an hour, and they'd run out of time, and he'd say, you know, tune in next week. We'll show you the conclusion of this main event next week on Mid-South Championship Wrestling, or the UWF at that time, Universal Wrestling Federation. They're sitting on all this footage, and yet our focus is on all this new stuff, these new shows, new programming, Jerry Springer. Hot shot, the return of the King of the Ring. This is the reason I will not be renewing my subscription, Frank. I kind of fell into April by accident. It renewed itself without me knowing it. And now, you know, May 1st comes, and I just have no interest in the network at this point and probably won't until SummerSlam.
I totally agree with you. I mean, I have no interest. I mean, as soon as we got, matter of fact, a while ago while we were prepping to do the podcast, I checked my account. Yeah. I noticed they charged me $9.99 for the network, and I didn't authorize them to do that. You know, I had no intention of keeping the network past the month of April. So I'm going to call them as soon as we're done, and I'm gonna bitch a fit because I don't want your damn network.
I don't either. And you think now, in light of Vern Gagne passing, the man behind the AWA, the founder, the creator, the legendary Vern Gagne, and you own all that footage that we can now create an AWA show, best of AWA, AWA footage, classic AWA matches, Wrestle Rock, all these great specials they'd have back on ESPN, the Nick Bockwinkel era, Larry Zbysko, Scott Hall, and Kurt Hennig as the tag team champions. You said Sherry Martel, Medusa, all these great stars that fans would love to see again. And a lot of this footage is that today's wrestling fans probably never saw it. Now, some of the footage, of course, aired on ESPN Classics, but there's a ton of footage that's not aired on any television network anywhere. And why can't we see this at this point? Again, you know, you're paying your $9.99. Where is the footage? What is taking so long to get the AWA footage out there? Thank you.
is taking so long to get the AWA footage out there? What is taking so long for WWE to upload the Nitros from 97 to 99? What is taking so long? You know, but they have time.
That's right.
They got time to put up, like I said, some stupid Jerry Springer show with clips from the Attitude Era. Love stories from the Attitude Era. I don't give a shit about that. I don't want to see Mark Henry with a tranny. Come on, man. That's not what I want to see on the network. So until they put on what I want to see, I'm going to do the fiscal responsible thing for me, and that's not pay for the shit. That's just how it is.
You know, I've had the month of April, and I've watched very little. Maybe I've got a built-in excuse this week, Frank. I've been under the weather. People may have noticed it in my voice. It's not 100%. I've been, fighting allergies. And, you know, Frank and I was hoping to do a show on Monday, and I was under the weather. And Sunday night came around, and I really didn't feel like watching the show. And I still have not watched Extreme Rules. I still have not watched The King of the Ring. I have not watched Jerry Springer. And in all honesty, Frank, I really have no strong desire. I will probably go back and watch Extreme Rules. And, you know, you were telling me some good things about the show that I'd like to check out. But when you're not feeling good and wrestling doesn't taste very good, as Bret Hart would say, it's not a very good mixture. So even though I was down and out for the last couple of days, sitting around watching wrestling on the WWE Network just didn't really do it for me.
I mean, Steve, there's only so many damn pay-per-views I can watch.
That's it, yes.
It's only so many episodes of Nitro I can watch that I've already seen 100 times already. There's nothing on there for me to watch. I mean, people will say, oh, you got all that content on there. Dude, I have been subscribing to the network really off and on since it started in February. So a lot of those pay-per-views, WCW, WWE, I've already gone through them. I'm not going to watch any of the ECW stuff. I can't watch the butchered up footage. I just can't do it. So, I mean, I've watched everything they have on there. I mean, Attitude Era Raws don't get it done for me. Because people like that, they act like that was the greatest thing. Yeah, it was cool to see NWO, but then that got, you know, that died down. It was cool to see Austin versus McMahon, but you know what? That died down too. And then came the McMahon Helmsley era. I don't want to watch any of that shit.
And I tell you what, if you want to save your $9.99, I might suggest, I don't know if this is official yet, but I read this online yesterday, Hulu is going to have the Seinfeld episodes. So if you don't want to plunk down your $9.90, I think what Hulu is $8.99 a month?
I believe it is, yeah.
So you can see all 180 episodes of Seinfeld very soon on Hulu. You know, if you want to save your money and watch something that I could go back and watch all those episodes again, you may invest in Hulu or Netflix. I mean, again, Netflix has the Iron Sheik documentary on there.
Absolutely.
Which is a very good documentary, so you want to check that out as well. There's a lot of footage out there, Frank, that not on the network that you can check out in other sources. I mean, what YouTube, all the things we've been talking about, I bet YouTube has a lot of that footage out there right now, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so why am I paying $9.99 when I can watch? I could probably go on YouTube, type in something I really want to watch, and I'll probably find it.
Yep, you probably could, and it won't be edited either.
Right. The original as it aired.
Yep.
Which was the whole selling point of the network. In fact, with this last lawsuit, was mentioned on our discussion group, is, you know, why couldn't we sue the WWE? They falsely advertised this was going to be uncut, uncensored, which they don't talk about anymore. But at one time, that's what they were selling, and it's anything but uncut, uncensored.
Oh, exactly. It's just basically, I mean, it's all lies. I mean, WWE is known for you know, pulling you in and sucking you in and thinking it's going to be something when it really, it's not going to be that. So it is what it is, man. I'm not going to waste my time with an attempted lawsuit against the WWE and have to spend the lawyer fees. And, you know, it's not going to do a damn thing.
And that's what they figure, too. Who's going to bother?
Yep.
Although, then again, there's been a lot of lawsuits against WWE recently. So I don't know.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of those lawsuits, in my opinion, are frivolous lawsuits, and I just really don't have time to put a lawsuit out there that's a joke.
Yeah, I would agree with you as well. A lot of frivolous lawsuits. A lot of lawyers that will follow a lawsuit against anybody these days.
Yep. Everybody's too heavy.
It is, yes. Oh, you did something wrong to me, I'll sue you. In fact, the kids today, they walk around, you touch me, I'll sue you.
Yep.
Or have my dad sue you.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Before we move on, Frank, you did see some of the pay-per-view. What was your overall impressions of Extreme Rules?
I was very impressed with Neville versus Bad News Barrett. I thought that was a very, very good match. So Red Arrow is probably right now my favorite finish in the business. New Day versus Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, that right there, Steve, is what I'm telling you. You have to go out of your way to see that match. That was a very good tag match. I'm very happy for the push that New Day is receiving now. They are being cast as the heels, although I don't think that a heel turn actually happened. And it's kind of like they're just, people say New Day sucks, they're automatically heels, but when John Cena gets booed, he's polarized. I thought that the Russian chain match, I thought that was kind of stupid, to be honest with you. I'm just sick and tired of the John Cena versus Rusev feud, to be honest with you. And I see they're doing something here with Lana. Lana actually got on the apron the other night and was waving to the crowd as they cheered for her, and then Rusev sent her to the back. So they're already starting to see there of possible dissension between those two, because they have big plans for Lana. They got to get away from this Russian gimmick. You know what I mean? So I saw that part. Naomi versus Nikki Bella, I didn't see it. Couldn't care less about that match. Big Show versus Roman Reigns. Very, very physical match. I really like the way that they booked Roman Reigns in that one. I mean, people are stale with the Big Show, with his character. I agree. But I think that Paul White, he worked his ass off the other night to make Roman Reigns look very, very good. And the spots they pulled off in that match, you know, sending him through the spirit of the barricade, spirit him through the announcer's table, dumping the announcer's table on the Big Show to get him from being able to recover. These spots made Roman Reigns look very, very strong. My only thing is, man, is that Superman punch, to me, is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. If I'm out there actually in a street fight somewhere, you really think I'm going to do a Superman punch? Probably not.
Are you going to do an F5 on somebody?
Yeah, I'll do an F5 and then I'll put them in a sharpshooter too.
Are you going to do a Stone Cold Stunner in the street?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I understand. You know, these are just moves, but I agree. I'm not a big fan of that maneuver either. You were just talking about, you know, Rusev Cena 2, and that's going to headline the next pay-per-view as well, Frank. Payback, which is May 17th in the hot town of Baltimore right now. That's going to be on the show, and they've already announced what Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton for the WWE Championship at Payback.
Which I have to talk about, too. Mentioned that main event cage match between Rollins and Orton. But before I do that, Luke Harper wrestled Dean Ambrose in the Chicago street fight. And I think that was good for what it was. Only so much you can do, man, in a PG environment, you know. So they did what they did what they could with it. I'm not really sold right now on Ambrose. Not anymore like I was. Main event match I thought was okay for what it was. I want to see where they go with Kane at this point. But other than that, man, you know what? It was a pay-per-view that was worth $9.99.
Yeah, I said that's the new criteria now is how do we judge these pay-per-views? And, you know, they're not $55 anymore. They're not $60 in HD. I guess you still can buy them that way, but most of the wrestling fans today are ordering the pay-per-views or getting the pay-per-views through their WWE subscription. But just because, I said this to Frank, just because the show was $9.99, it still can stink.
Right.
I mean, you go to the movies and you probably pay close to that to go to a movie. And just because you paid only $8 or $9, the movie still could stink.
Right.
So just because the wrestling show itself is only $9.99 or part of your subscription for the month, still could be a show that you give a thumbs down. In fact, Frank, I got to say, with the Gerwick.net voters out there, they really didn't like this show.
Yeah.
In fact, 51% said F when they graded the show. C got 21%. B got 16%. D got 8%. And only 22 voters, 4% of the vote, voted an A. So a lot of my readers out there really didn't care for this show.
Yeah, I mean, but people, you got to realize something. I understand that, but you're only getting it for $9.99. And plus, if you got it for free in the month of April, what exactly are we complaining about?
True. If you are a new subscriber and you got it for free, that is true. Also, at GirlWig.net, we asked people what was the best match at Extreme Rules. And winning pretty easily was Neville versus Bad News Barrett, 31%. Second place was the Last Man Standing match, Big Show versus Roman Reigns. Then everything else had between 3 and 11%. And the one that did the worst, Frank, Rusev versus John Cena, just 3%.
Yeah, I can understand why, Steve. That match was stupid. It was very gimmicky, and there was no blood. If you want to watch a real chain match, then I'll say, hey, go back and watch on the network. You know, that's where you go find the real chain matches.
Are you enjoying this edition of the Gerwick Report podcast?
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
Did you know that every edition of the Gerwick Report podcast, the GRP, is archived at www.gerweck.net?
Really? Really?
Really?
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
The Gerwick Report podcast has interviewed some of the biggest stars in the wrestling business.
Hi, I'm Eric Bischoff.
This is the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
Stevie Richards.
Former WWE superstar Ricardo Rodriguez.
Teddy Long.
Ron Simmons, a.k.a. Baruch.
Christopher Daniels.
This is Frankie Kazarian.
The Honky Tonk Man, the greatest intercontinental heavyweight champion of all time.
Matt Hardy.
Rob Van Dam.
Paul London.
Ted DiBiase, the Billion Dollar Man. You remember me?
Carrie Reynolds, and you are listening to the Gerwick Report podcast with Steve Gerwick and Frank D. I don't miss it, neither should you.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Kind of a follow-up, we talked about Daniel Bryan on the last podcast. Of course, he was removed from Extreme Rules. Now, some people had a problem, Frank, with they waited until the day of Extreme Rules to announce that he was not going to wrestle on the show. Some people took exception to that because they knew he was not going to be a part of the show. Why wait until like 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon to say Daniel Bryan is off the show? Kind of almost a bait and switch a little bit to a certain degree.
I think it was. You know, I honestly really feel bad for Daniel Bryan right now. I mean, the guy just can't catch a damn break. You know, he really can't. I mean, if you look at his track record in WWE, it's he started off. If you remember, he got fired because he choked Justin Roberts with a tie on Raw the night the Nexus debuted, and then they brought him back, and then he struggled to get over, and then he got over with the Yes, and then they put the tag straps on him, and he was he was a world champion first, I believe, and then he started tag teaming with Kane, and then he got over, and he got the world strap, he got to go sit through all that authority crap, he got injured, came back from injury, lost his father, and hasn't really been able to recover since that, Steve. And they put the Intercontinental belt on him at WrestleMania. Everybody thought that it was going to do wonders for the strap, and it really has not. And I don't know what they're going to do now. I don't know how long DB is going to be out. I don't know what they're going to do with the Intercontinental belt. I just feel bad for the guy. I really do.
Yeah, the word is that he's off all the events until June the 28th, which is a... That's several months he's going to be out of action.
So I would assume, you know...
Actually, two months. He'll be out of action at least 2 months.
Well, I would assume, because of the 30-day rule, you know, kayfabe, that the belt will be stripped. I mean, the belt is going to get stripped from him because his name's not Brock Lesnar. So that's why they're going to take the IC belt.
Is there a double standard in the whip?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree, though. It's sad. Daniel Bryan gets over, gets injured, out of action. Now he's going to be out probably at least until June 28th. That's at least what they've announced on the WWE.com website, all live events. He's off until June 28th. So speedy recovery, Daniel Bryan, DB out there. But it's a sad situation, and he's one of the more overstars they have, and he's going to be out of action. Now, as you said, he's going to be out of action now for several months, and will they strip him of the championship? And you would assume, is that going to lead off Monday Night Raw this week? It's definitely going to come out with the authority and say, well, isn't that too bad about DB? I guess we're going to strip him of the championship, and I don't know, they can do another tournament? I don't know. Are they going to do top contenders for the IC championship? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd do another tournament right away, would you? If you just did the King of the Ring tournament?
I think they would, Steve, yeah.
Okay,
they would dedicate a whole episode of Raw to declaring a new IC champion.
One night only tournament, and it'll probably be just as stellar as the King of the Ring tournament. One of the things that we discussed on the last podcast was Ronda Rousey, and of course Ronda Rousey wants to do something with WWE. She's a big wrestling fan, and something I said on the last show, there's no way Dana White is going to sign off on having his legitimate fighter go in the ring and working a match. And that's the key there, working a match with Stephanie McMahon. He's put this rumor to rest, Frank. He says Dana has said that Ronda Rousey won and done with the whip. So any rumors next year for WrestleMania, Triple H versus The Rock and Stephanie versus Ronda Rousey, well, at least one of those matches for sure won't be happening next year at WrestleMania.
You know, we already knew this. I said here on the show it would be very big business for UFC and WWE to do that, but we already knew it wasn't going to happen. Simply put, why would Dana White allow his legitimate fighter to do a worked match with Stephanie McMahon and Stephanie McMahon get a bunch of offense on Ronda Rousey, which kills our credibility with the MMA audience? So that's why it won't happen. It will not happen as long as Ronda Rousey is affiliated with UFC. So that won't happen. It looks great on paper, but it's not going to happen because it's a work. And I think that's really where WWE hurts themselves with the fact that it's predetermined and it's a work.
You know, we ran the poll at GirlWig.net about, do you think Ronda Rousey will compete in a WWE ring? And the majority of the readers out there, listeners, thought that she would. And I just don't understand the mentality of why would you think Dana White, I mean, he obviously signed off on her appearing at WrestleMania, but what she did at WrestleMania doesn't compare to working a match with anybody in the WWE, any of their divas. I mean, she would annihilate any diva WWE has in seconds. So why would Dana, as you said, expose her to a wrestling match? I just don't understand why people thought it was even a possibility. To me, it was never a possibility. Why would Dana sign off on that? Unless he got a huge chunk of change, but then again, he loses the credibility of his fighter. So, and again, WWE doesn't generate as much money with WrestleMania as they did when it was, 1 million buys on pay-per-view. I know Vince has a lot of money, and I'm sure he could pay Dana some money to have Ronda on the show, but, why would Dana say yes to that? There's just not – the negatives outweigh the positives over and over in the situation.
Yeah, of course. He's not going to risk his top, one of his top fighters getting hurt on a WWE show where she can't compete.
Letting Stephanie get offense in on Ronda Rousey?
Exactly.
Look how worked and contrived that would be.
Exactly.
Stephanie's, 40 years old? The only thing she could hit her with is a silicone.
Yeah, although Stephanie is looking a lot older than that, but yeah.
So there just was no positives there for UFC, and I was really surprised people bought into this rumored match, and maybe it was just a trial balloon for WWE to see. Would people really want to see Ronda Rousey versus Stephanie McMahon? I know I would.
Right.
But apparently some people did out there.
Yeah, some people thought it was going to happen, and that's cool for people to think that, but it had no chance in hell.
Some people were also upset, Frank, with some comment, a particular comment that Booker T made on Monday Night Raw in reference to Owen Hart, where he said Owen couldn't defy gravity.
Hmm.
And shortly after that, Booker T did go on social media and apologized for the comment. Now, I thought the comment was very ill-advised by Booker T, and I think it really shows that Booker T is just not meant, as we've talked about before on this podcast, some people are just not groomed to be color commentators. When you're in a live environment where what you say goes on the air, it's not pre-taped, it's not SmackDown where you pre-taped a show. Raw is live. The pay-per-views are live. Booker T made a boneheaded comment here. It's not the most offensive thing I've ever seen or talked about or discussed, but it was not a well-placed comment here by Booker T. I don't know, Frank. I just don't think Booker T is meant to be a color commentator. Now, I do think some of the reaction was maybe blown out of proportion a little bit. It wasn't the worst comment ever made on WWE television. I just don't think Booker T is meant to be a color commentator.
Yeah, that's a hard one. I think if Booker T wants to apologize for anything, he should apologize just for the bad commentary he's done since he's been back. That's just how I feel about it. And JBL is not much better. There's one guy, and people are going to say, Frankie, you're so full of it right now, but I'm being serious. Michael Cole keeps that shit together. It's just, like I said, just because you were, a semi-good promo guy in the wrestling business doesn't mean that it's going to translate when you're announced. And Booker T was a decent promo. He was never really, nothing he ever said really blew me away outside of a comment he made towards Hulk Hogan at Spring and Stampede 97. But other than that, man, it's just like Booker said something, that people took out of context, and some people, you know, are very emotional and sensitive to the situation, so they got upset about it. And Booker apologized, and hopefully there's no more ramifications about it after that. I don't understand why, out of all the King of the Ring winners they could have brought up, I mean, why bring up Owen Hart to begin with? You could have brought up anybody. You could have brought up Steve Austin. You could have brought up, you know, Bret Hart. You could have brought up Edge. Anybody. That's just my thing. I would have just picked somebody else to talk about Owen Hart. But I know why they were talking about it. They were trying to basically show respect to Owen, and they were putting over Neville in the same way. But you don't have to necessarily bring up Owen Hart. That's a very sensitive situation. A lot of people are still bothered by that.
I agree, Frank. I think it's done now. He made his comments. He apologized. Let's move on. But as you said, Frank, he should apologize for the bad commentary. And that's what... If they're going to make a move in that Raw commentary booth, it's not this one comment he made by Owen Hart. It should just be the merit of his work, and it's not engaging. It's not entertaining to listen to. Is, you know, what should cost Booker T is his spot on Raw is just as bad commentary overall.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Just don't think he adds anything to the commentary, and I agree with JBL as well. I don't think he adds much to the commentary either.
No, he does. He really doesn't. I mean, but I'm just not. I mean, JBL just overdoes it. That's my issue with him. It's just they're both not very good.
Well, one guy, a former world champion, a guy that was in WCW, made a little bit of waves in the wrestling circles. He announced that he'd come back and have one more match, but it would not be with WWE. He said he's basically not, you know, tied together with Vince anymore, that he doesn't have to work for WWE, and that a guy who's not wrestled, I don't think, in about a decade, Bill Goldberg is teasing, at least anyways, that he's going to do one more match, Frank. And if Bill Goldberg comes back for one final match, where's it going to be?
You know what? If Bill Goldberg comes back for one match, it definitely won't be for the Dead Brand. It probably won't be for ROH. I'm maybe thinking it might be New Japan, and if it's not New Japan, it's probably going to end up being something to do with Global Force Wrestling.
These comments startle you a little bit, Frank? I mean, everybody would think if you're going to do one final match, it's going to be at WrestleMania on the big stage. Are you surprised that, like I said, after a decade of being basically retired from the ring, that Bill Goldberg would announce, yeah, I'll come back for one more match, but it's not going to be in the whip?
No, I'm not surprised at all. Bill Goldberg hates WWE. He hates the way he was treated at WWE, and I'm looking back on it. Yeah, what did you think was going to happen when you went over there? Of course. You know, after that,
they're gonna put a wig on your head.
Well, after that match was done with the after that was done with the Rock, I mean, that was it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to work with Trips. Trips was, of course, you know, Trips was going through his reign there as being a world champion, so that's who they put him up with, was Triple H. So I'm not at all surprised by it. You know, it's kind of like Goldberg has an axe to grind, and he wants to grind it at WWE and not give him the pleasure of having a draw, because Goldberg would be a draw. If Goldberg came back and worked with the right opponent, he would definitely be a draw on pay-per-view for WWE or getting network subscribers. So if he's not going there, I have to assume it'll be something to do with Global Force and New Japan.
And then that's the key question, Frank. Who would his opponent be? I mean, who out there would be... I mean, Bill Goldberg's return match would draw some money, but who would be the marquee opponent being outside the WWE? Obviously, it's not going to be against John Cena. It's not going to be against anybody in the whip. So who's the marquee name out there for Bill Goldberg to wrestle outside of the WWE?
I you know, honestly, right now, I don't know.
I don't know either. That's why I found the comments a little strange. You'd come back and do one match, and I understand your frustration with the whip, but
yeah.
Who is the marquee match? I mean, is it going to be Bill Goldberg against Jeff Jarrett? Is that going to draw
money? That's not going to draw anything. That's going to draw nothing. It's going to draw the same thing it drew in WCW, nothing.
Draw flies?
Exactly. I don't even think flies would come to that.
Bill Goldberg versus AJ Styles?
I don't see it, man.
I mean, who else out there? I mean, Bill Goldberg versus Samoa Joe?
Samoa Joe is rumored to be heading to WWE in June.
Right, so that's probably out the window. So who is it out there that Bill Goldberg is eyeing that he says, I want to get in the ring with this guy?
So here's the thing, Bill Goldberg is in a very, very interesting situation. Let me do that part over. Bill Goldberg is in a very interesting situation simply because he has no one of legitimate credibility to wrestle. I mean, AJ Styles versus Bill Goldberg, that match doesn't appeal to me simply because AJ would wrestle circles around Bill Goldberg. And Goldberg hasn't been in the ring since what? Outside of some stuff he did for New Japan, he hasn't been in the ring. So if that was New Japan, I'm not even sure who he worked for when he was in Japan. I'm not sure. But Goldberg hasn't even been in the wrestling ring in over 10 years. So I don't know. I think Goldberg would be very rusty. And all the big players who come in to wrestle now, they all go to WWE. So there is nobody. I mean, the marquee matches for Goldberg are in WWE. And he seems to feel that he has enough credibility on the outside to do it himself. And I have to think that, I mean, unless he's going to do some kind of Hulkamania tour like Hogan tried to do, his best bet is to do something with WWE, which he won't do. But that's what, from a business point of view, that's what I would do. Because I know that's where I'm going to make the most money. Especially if you want your child to see you perform. Well, would you want your child to see you perform on the biggest stage, WrestleMania, in front of thousands and thousands of people? Or take the chance of performing for Global Force at the Orleans in a hotel and casino in Las Vegas? You got to be smart about it.
And, of course, basically Hulk Hogan's in bed with WWE, so that's not going to happen. Goldberg versus Hulk Hogan over again.
You know, I don't care what bed Hulk Hogan would be lying in. I don't want to see him wrestle.
I don't either. And especially against Bill Goldberg again. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So that's the big question to me is, who is the opponent? Who is the guy that he would actually return to the ring at this point in his life? I think Bill's like 48 years old now, 47, 48, something like that. Who is he going to risk, you know, his health against? And who is the person that's going to risk their health by going in the ring with Bill Goldberg at this point?
Let the credibility, you know, let the suspense start to happen and let people start saying that they believe that the mystery opponent for Goldberg is going to be Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Not if it's outside the whip.
I'm pretty sure that's what people are going to start saying.
Yeah, I don't think, as much as I like Jeff Jarrett as a promoter, I don't think he's going to book Goldberg versus Austin on one of his shows.
Probably not.
Yeah, the real question is, who is Bill Goldberg going to work with? And as you said, the big players are with somebody right now. Is there anybody in the Bullet Club that's a big, I mean, Doc Gallows? Is he going to come back and wrestle him?
There's no money there. There's no money outside of WWE. There's just no money.
Right.
Not for a guy with his credentials, and not for a guy who he is. There's just nobody to work with.
If he were to go to TNA, and I don't really see it either, but let's say they convince him to go to TNA, what would be the big money match with Bill Goldberg and TNA? Kurt Angle?
That would be it. Kurt Angle or Bobby Lashley. That would be
and
it.
Again, I don't know if that's... Is that something that would excite fans out there to see Bill Goldberg versus Kurt Angle? Bill Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley?
You know, let me tell you why I don't like the idea of that happening. I don't like the idea of him wrestling Kurt Angle simply because Kurt Angle is not in the best of health.
No.
So you can't take a guy, you know, Kurt Angle who's been active and take him against a guy in Bill Goldberg who has been active, put them in a ring and expect them to have a good match and then have the risk of what happened to Bret Hart happening to Kurt Angle.
That's my point. At this stage of your career, if you're Kurt Angle, do you want to wrestle Bill Goldberg?
I think Kurt Angle would be up to doing anything, to be honest with you.
Oof. That'd be quite the risk.
Yeah.
Bill Goldberg out of the business for 10 years, coming back super rusty to work against him? Really?
Yeah.
That's why I don't think it'll be TNA.
No.
And then if it's not TNA, as Frank has speculated, Global Force Wrestling, New Japan, where's it going to be? That's a million-dollar question at this point. I don't know. Frank, let me ask you this. Are you excited to see Bill Goldberg wrestle again?
I'm really not, Steve, because I remember watching Goldberg at WrestleMania 20, his last performance at WrestleMania with Brock Lesnar, and it didn't do anything for me then. Goldberg was good for what Goldberg was good for, and that was basically the spear and the jackhammer. And other than that, I really had no interest in Goldberg. My interest with him waned when he came to WWE. I mean, I remember Goldberg, the monster Goldberg in WCW. That's when I was really, you know, a fan of his. But now, man, it's like, no, I have no interest in that. Because, I mean, if you're not going to wrestle anybody in the whip, then I don't really care. I mean, the big matches would be, I mean, where does, what Goldberg doesn't understand is that WWE owns your entire legacy. They have everything about you in that video vault. All the stuff about Goldberg is owned by WWE. So why not make a deal with WWE to go back and do one more match? And if you're going to do it at WrestleMania next year or WrestleMania the year after that. But for him to think that he can do it without them, that's kind of like, that to me is like an ego thing. I don't need the whip. I don't need WWE to be successful in the business. I can do it on my own. I could be that, you know, that guy. I could be the Babe Ruth of wrestling. I could go out there and we can book this arena and do this. Well, you know something? Hulk Hogan tried to book a show before. If you remember years ago, he wrestled, I think it was the Giant Paul White or something like that. They wrestled in Memphis, and they didn't draw nothing. So Hulk Hogan, if Hulk Hogan couldn't draw anything to wrestle the Big Slow, what makes you think you're going to be able to, Goldberg?
If there was a strong number two promotion, I can understand where he's coming from. If WCW was around in some form as it was back in the day, I could see Bill Goldberg saying, heck with WWE. But, Frank, there's really no strong number two. I mean, New Japan really is number two.
Right, it is. And unless you're going to work for them, unless you're going to work for New Japan, and whatever match they have for him over there, and somebody has caliber, and they want to put something on, that's fine. But if you're not going to work for them, and you're thinking about doing something with Global Force, I mean, that'll lend some credibility to Global Force as far as the name Goldberg, and people that are still fans of Goldberg, that'll help them. But it's like, if you're not, you know, going to do anything like that, if you're just going off on your own, like the Goldberg, you know, retirement tour or something like that, I don't see people coming to that.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I mean, it may mean something to New Japan. It may mean something to Japanese fans to have Bill Goldberg compete in the New Japan ring against one of their top stars. But domestically, it's going to mean nothing.
No, unless it's in WWE. I mean, WWE would love. They would love to have Bill Goldberg compete at WrestleMania next year. That would be huge for them. That'd be big business. That'd be big box office to say we have Goldberg wrestling whoever. Goldberg versus Lesnar. Goldberg versus, you know, Taker. Goldberg versus Roman Reigns or whoever. That's a big match. I still think that they're missing the boat with Randy Orton versus Brock Lesnar, to be honest with you.
Randy Orton versus Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
You think that's the match that's going to wrestle? Is that going to headline WrestleMania next year?
I don't think it's going to headline WrestleMania. I don't even think it's going to happen. But I'm just thinking that they're making a mistake not doing it because that would be a very interesting story there. It's the RKO out of nowhere versus the F5. I mean, from a standpoint, it's like, oh, what would happen if Randy Orton could the RKO keep down Brock Lesnar? So I think it'd be a very interesting story, but they won't do it.
No, probably not. In fact, what, are we talking about Brock versus Rock next year?
Right, and I'm sorry, I just don't want to see it.
Or no, actually, they're talking about Rock versus Triple H next year.
Something else I just don't want to see. I'd rather see Brock Lesnar versus The Rock and Triple H versus Rock.
Well, if they keep Brock Lesnar away from Triple H or The Rock, then you know who's the man for Brock next year? Because you know he did sign a multi-year contract.
I think the man for Brock next year would probably end up being Batista.
Batista's going to come back for one final match against
Brock Lesnar. That would be big business.
Brock Lesnar.
Big business.
Yeah, but he wants to do house shows.
Yeah. I honestly don't know. I'll let you know when I get back from the Titan Towers what they're planning on doing.
Okay. Well, after they consult with you.
Yeah, they have to consult with me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. Okay. You keep us abreast of that situation.
Yeah, because all the decisions have to go through Frank D. So yeah,
got to whip the whip.
Right.
Right. Well, one of the polls that Frank D. did suggest for Gerwick.net was due to Naomi's heel turn, should WWE split up the Usos? And people liked your idea, Frank. 61% said yes. 39% said no. So perhaps that'll be the direction when the Usos get back into the forefront of WWE television.
I think, honestly, it'd be better for them. I think that they've kind of run the course as a tag team. They've been tag teaming for years. So it would be very interesting to see them two wrestle each other and maybe at some point later on get back together. But I'm digging heel Naomi. So I want to see Naomi with her husband and feuding with his brother. I think that'd be a very, very good story.
And I want to say congratulations to Angela Love, and Davey Richards, another couple in TNA, is going to tie the knot. So congratulations to those two. They made that announcement public on their social media. It's amazing, Frank, what gets on social media these days.
Yeah, everything gets on social
media. Pretty much everything.
Yeah.
That's right. And a follow-up real quickly before we wrap up the show. We were talking about wrestlers that conform well to being a color commentator. We talked about, you know, Ric Flair really wouldn't translate well as a color commentator. We just talked about Booker T, who is a pretty good promo guy, but as an announcer is not very good. We talked about Randy the Macho Man Savage, Roddy Piper. I mean, just because you're a good promo person doesn't mean necessarily you'll translate into a good color commentator. And somebody emailed me actually on our Facebook group. Actually, it was a private Facebook message. They didn't want to be identified, but they said, what do you think about HBK returning as a color commentator on WWE television? How do you think Shawn Michaels would do as a color commentator?
Shawn Michaels, huh?
The Heartbreak Kid.
Couldn't hurt.
I mean, really, could he do any worse than Booker T?
I don't think he could. Could hurt.
Could he do any worse than JBL?
Probably not. But here's a good question. I want to put this out there to the listeners right now. Would you like to see Sid Vicious brought back as a commentator? Let's let the listeners stew on that one. I think he'd be good, and I think Scott Steiner would be good too. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine listening to Raw and it opens up with Michael Cole and you got Sid Vicious on one side and Scott Steiner on the other side? That would be awesome. Well,
that would be pretty amazing.
That would be awesome. I can hear it now. Sid saying, can we do it again? And Michael Cole saying, it's live, pal.
Well, that'd be the thing. Maybe you have to put him on SmackDown where they can at least pre-tape the show.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. And I like Sid. I was always a Sid Vicious fan, so I'm just ready.
The day that Sid, I think, I don't know if I've told the story on this podcast or not, but Sid years ago did a conference call where he was, you know, going to get back in the ring, and he was getting back in shape, and he had, you know, the wrestling media listening to his conference call, and I asked him, you know, got to be my turn, and I said something like, you know, you're not going to go to TNA, and he's like, no, I want to headline an 80,000 seat arena. And I remember thinking, you know, I didn't say anything after that because I didn't know exactly how do you follow that up? And he said, you don't think I can? And, you know, Sid, I'm not sure. And honestly, Sid, you know, short of the WrestleMania itself selling the 80,000 seats, I'm not really sure anybody necessarily individually sells out an 80,000 seat arena anymore.
I know exactly what you're talking about there, Steve. Somebody asked Sid about TNA, and he was talking about his big comeback, and he says, no, I want to go where I can go and wrestle in front of, I think he said 100,000 people or something like that.
It was a big number.
Yeah.
It was a big number.
It was a big, in the dome somewhere. He wants to be in the dome. He says, I can't do that. I'm a big star, and I want to wrestle big stars, not in front of some, you know, not in front of 50 people. And, you know, what's funny is that when they brought Sid out a few years ago on Monday Night Raw, it was on the Heath Slater Open Challenge or something like that. They brought Sid back out there in front of the live audience, and nobody knew who the hell he was. He didn't get that big reaction that I think he was hoping to get. And you never heard from Sid again.
Yeah, he was doing this conference call to get back in shape, and he wanted to get back into wrestling. And, you know, at that time, nobody really thought he'd go back to the whip. And then people thought, you know, well, maybe TNA would be a good alternative. No, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go to TNA. I want to go, as you said, headline the big shows.
Right.
And he's like, you don't think I could?
Buddy, I remember a pay-per-view called WCW Sin, I believe that's what it was. And I remember watching you come off the top and breaking everything. So do I think you could do it? Absolutely not. No. And that's no knock against him. That was a freak accident. But let's just be honest here. Let's be real about it. Sin is good for the powerbomb, and that's a good nostalgic spot, the powerbomb. But that's it. We saw him come back a few years ago. He did, you know, he did some spots. They played the Cycle City music, and just people didn't know who the hell he was. And that's WWE's fault, really. I mean, you have the network. You need to condition the new fans to know who these legends are, so when they come out there, they get a good reaction.
I don't remember what I said, but I mean, essentially, I should have said, you know, in today's wrestling, Sid, nobody's going to sell out 100,000 seat arena. If you're not going to work for the, whip, and you're not going to be a part of the WrestleMania show, which still, you know, WrestleMania still draws. We saw it again this year with San Francisco, California out there in Frank's world, but on an individual show, no, you're not going to draw 100,000.
Well, WrestleMania draws simply because of the name WrestleMania.
Right, that's my point. Yeah.
It's not going to draw just because Brock Lesnar's on the card, like you were saying there. And same thing goes for Bill Goldberg. And unless you're going to do business with WWE or, you know, you have some master plan, it ain't going to work, man.
No. Unfortunately, that's the situation. And, you know, years ago, maybe you had a chance when wrestling was in a boom period. But I don't know. How many years ago has that been now, Frank? A boom period. Let's see. When did the Attitude Era officially end? 99, they were saying.
I think the Attitude Era officially ended on March the 26th, 2001.
When Vince swallowed up WCW.
Right.
But wasn't the one special we talked about Attitude Era ended in 99 or something? The new episodes of Raw, the Attitude Era, until a certain time in 99. But it's been... What are we coming up on, Frank, on 2 decades since the wrestling boom period?
Right, but, you know, I heard one of the guests on the show, you know, Jeff Jarrett, said that a boom period was imminent in the wrestling business. So I'm still waiting for that. I mean, I think, honestly, from everything I've read lately, I think NXT has kind of cooled off.
I agree with you, Frank. It's actually next year, 20 years since the NWO.
For life.
I mean, sink your teeth in that. It's been 20 years since the NWO invaded WCW and turned this business upside down.
Yep, and you know what's funny about that? It's been 20 years since the NWO formation on WCW, and it's also something that we still talk about till this day. Matter of fact, myself and Abby Green are going to be producing a NWO podcast very shortly. We're going to go through the entire history of the NWO from start to finish, and that probably would be maybe 2 or 3 different episodes. So stay tuned for that.
I was going to say, that group just got bigger and bigger and bigger and watered down factions and different colors. And that'll be good. So definitely stay tuned for that. And, you know, Frank, we kind of maybe downplayed Global Force Wrestling a little bit today, but I think in some good news for the company, and we are rooting for Global Force Wrestling out there. Don't get anybody, you know, don't get us wrong. Looks like Eric Bischoff is going to be working with Global Force Wrestling. That's got to be a plus.
I think that's a huge plus for them to pull that off, simply because Eric Bischoff, love the guy or hate the guy, I'm an Eric Bischoff guy. I'm an Eric Bischoff fan. And simply put, Bischoff has a lot of reach in the TV industry, and that can only help Global Force with getting a TV deal. So that's a complete positive. But I can't wait to finally see what this Global Force Wrestling is going to be. I've even mentioned here on the GRP before, if they want to comp me, I'll go to Las Vegas to their taping to see what it is and see what it's about and give them a favorable review if I like what I see.
And the one thing we've always heard about, Frank, was what really hurt the relationship with TNA and Spike was that Eric Bischoff was removed as the producer of the show.
Right.
They at least knew who Eric Bischoff was and knew that he produced, you know, WCW back in the day, and once he was out of the picture, because what Big John came in and said, let's get rid of Eric?
Yeah, a guy from Tough Enough, a guy who was on Tough Enough, a guy who was pretty much a lackey at WWE, he comes in and says, okay, let's remove Eric Bischoff. Okay, and I like, screw him. And people wonder why I come on here and I call TNA the Dead Man, because of shit like that. I mean, whether you like Bischoff or you hate Bischoff, what do you look at WCW and say, oh, it's a failure because they got bought? Here's the deal, all right? Yeah, WCW made a lot of mistakes, but had Turner still been in charge of WCW, I think WCW would still be around today. Because they were making a lot more, they were making a lot of mistakes way before Eric Bischoff came on the scene.
Yeah, so it's got to benefit them, as you said, from a television perspective, and maybe that's one of the major reasons that Bischoff is going to work for Global Force Wrestling with his connections with the TV business. You know, Jeff Jarrett's going to do these tapings, what, in July to maybe have a demo
yep.
for the television networks. You know, with the clout that Eric Bischoff has, maybe it'll improve his chances of landing a television deal.
I'm all for it. I'm officially jumping on the Global Force bandwagon. I'm very interested to see what it's going to be. And now that Eric Bischoff's involved in it, I'm curiosity is what I have right now for Global Force. And I think that they can pull it off. I mean, Bischoff is a great television mind. Bischoff Hervey Entertainment is a big company in the world of TV. So that's only, that's positives for Global Force. So I can't wait to see what they do here. And hopefully, we'll see talents come on there. Maybe you can make a deal. You can have on that first show, you can have the Bullet Club and all those other talents out there. I can't wait to see what happens.
I totally agree. We hope for big things for Jeff, and Jeff said on this podcast he wouldn't be a stranger. Maybe he can come back when he actually has something to talk about, Frank. He came on the show and wasn't a lot of things he could say.
Right.
A lot of things were still in development. And I mean, we went to that interview with Jeff and didn't know a lot more about Global Force than we did before.
Right.
Maybe that was all by design, but now, with things progressing and maybe he'll start announcing some talent, and now he's got Eric Bischoff on board and he's working on television tapings, maybe he'll have some big updates very soon in the future about Global Force Wrestling.
Hopefully so. I'm hoping he will.
Yep. Well, one thing we're going to have an announcement very soon, so stay tuned to Gerwick.net and also our Facebook discussion group at Gerwick Report Podcast on Facebook. We're going to announce very shortly. We have a very special sale coming for our T-shirts, the four design T-shirts we have at ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. You can get the Retro Nitro shirt, the Retro Monday Night Raw, the top seller, the NWO Retro T-shirt, and is also the white Gerwick.net T-shirt because it's the 100th edition of the GRP. We're going to put our T-shirts on sale, Frank. And if they ever, we're debating, should I get a T-shirt or not? Should I represent the GRP? Well, very shortly, it'll be a sale for them to commit to, because this is going to be a very nice sale for the listeners out there.
Absolutely.
So definitely stay tuned for that. And as always, we do appreciate your support here at the Gerwick Report Podcast. And coming very soon, the 100th edition of the GRP. Definitely tell your friends out there. In fact, Frank, if we've been telling them to tell their friends about the show, tell your friends out there about the 100th edition of the podcast.
Yeah.
Say, we've reached a milestone, 100th edition of the show. Go down Twitter, get on Facebook, get your T-shirts, put us over, and let everybody know out there that the GRP is truly the podcast that tells it like it is.
You can now listen to the
Gerwick Report Podcast
on the free TuneIn Radio app, featuring over 100,000 real radio stations, over 4 million podcasts streaming live from every continent, offering unprecedented access to listen to anything, anywhere. TuneIn lets you listen to over 100,000 real radio stations and more than 4 million podcasts from every continent, 200,000 mobile downloads per day. Available on iPhone, iPad, Android tablets, Windows 8, BlackBerry, Amazon Kindle. Available in over 200 branded products with millions of devices sold worldwide, including Samsung Smart TV, Roku, Sonos, Sony PlayStation, Amazon Echo, Panasonic Vieira TV, Logitech Squeezebox. TuneIn brings streaming radio to cars, including GM, Ford, BMW, Tesla, Mercedes-Benz, Volvo, Nissan, Fiat, and more.
If you enjoyed today's Gerwick Report podcast, we encourage you to go to Gerwick.net at www.gerwick.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news since 1997. You can also find all the archives of previous editions of the Gerwick Report podcast there. Additionally, check out our Facebook discussion group. We're on Twitter at Gerwick Report. You can follow us on YouTube, our YouTube channel at Gerwick Report on YouTube. Find us on Stitcher, on TuneIn. Check us out on Instagram. We appreciate your support here at Gerwick.net and the Gerwick Report podcast. Again, check out all your wrestling news at Gerwick.net and stay tuned for the next edition of the Gerwick Report podcast.